Proverbs 23:23 reads, "Buy the truth and sell it not." This morning we really are beginning another decade, last week being our actual 40th year of service for Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. And we took this verse of scripture last week to as really our launching point. Buy the truth and sell it not. When choosing a name for this new church, the glorious doctrine of God's sovereign grace was the cornerstone, really the focal point, that had become both central and precious to our brethren 40 years ago. And this has remained our purpose in declaring the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because the concise expression of the gospel is found in that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where I want you to turn to, and I'll read to you here in just a moment when everybody has found that page, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's what we're going to really focus on here this morning. Once again, our Father, we bow before you, and we rejoice that here is this gospel that was preached to us, that we have heard declared, that we have received, and by which we are a people that have been saved. And we can say that we know that we have been saved. This is not something that we merely hope that we might possess at some point in the future. We want to thank you that, as the scripture has says, by which we are saved. And we rejoice today that you, in your great, loving, kind, sovereign, gracious mercy, stooped to such a place to save us. God, we thank you. We declare ourselves once again, and even today, still sinners. But I thank you that while acknowledging that, there is this truth, we are saved. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Holy Ghost. Help us today. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let me first connect what we have just read here in 1 Corinthians to Proverbs 23:23. In the language that is stated here in the second verse, where the Apostle Paul writes, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Buy the truth and sell it not. The word here, vain, indicates without a cause. Have you believed without a cause? Was Was there something about how the gospel was presented to you that did leave you not understanding the cause? Not understanding what this salvation was really about. Have you believed in vain? Have you believed without a cause? Is there no purpose to this for which you declare that you are a saved soul? Have you believed in vain? It is our sins that we have been saved from. Because that is what is declared here. I delivered unto you first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our what? Sins. What is the cause of this salvation of ours if it is not for God to deliver us, save us, not only in the by and by, but here and now? We are people saved. Saved from our sins. And this is what our Lord accomplished on Calvary's cross. And the Apostle Paul is saying to them, this is the message I preached. This is what I received. This is what I've declared unto you. And it is something that we are to keep in memory. I can't imagine a salvation so quickly and so easily forgotten, because God has continued to deal with me about my sins every day. There's some way, somehow, on multiple occasions throughout my day where I've got to have my pride checked, where I've got to have my opinions checked, where I've got to have my motives checked, and the Lord is still saving me from them. Yes. As I bow my head and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that wicked, stupid, selfish, prideful thought, that lustful, covetous, on and on and on. Yeah. I'm looking at a bunch of sinners here today. Still struggling with sin. Still struggling with an old flesh. And yet at the same time, here is a gospel of our salvation. Oh, my brother, my brothers, my sisters, as Sharon's dad used to say, buy the truth. Sell it not. Do not relinquish this in any way. We're to hold fast that message that we heard. And if we do not, if we are not striving on to be delivered from our sins, well, then there's really a question as to whether you have believed in vain. So, let's just kind of hammer at this for a few moments, if we may. Taking this phrase out of Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not. Let's first of all consider this. This is the truth that the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, I declared. Verse 2, he says, I preached. I declared it. I preached it. It was a message from God, from a God-called man to God-called men and women. Because as the Apostle Paul went there to Corinth to preach the gospel to those people, he was a man called, and he was calling on a people who would be called. And that's how exactly you got saved. God sent a God-called man with the message of God to a people that God himself was going to call and going to save by his grace. So this is grace for fallen sinners, isn't it?
Yes.
And so when the Apostle Paul came with this message, it was just not mere information. Hold your place here in chapter 15. Turn back to chapter 2. You're so familiar. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says here in verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, came, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." That's another phrase for the gospel, isn't it? "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but here it is in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Yeah. Our word "demonstration" here is the idea of a pointing out, a showing of argument. Now, it's not just mere logic, because notice what he said. He said, "When I came, I determined not to know anything among you. My speech wasn't going to be with excellency of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I was in fear, I was in weakness, I was in trembling. No enticing words and no words of man's wisdom. I simply used the Word of God. And I took the Word of God and I laid out the Word of God." And he's, of course, referring to the Old Testament. Maybe, as we've stated before, maybe the Gospel of Matthew was available at this point in time and being produced. But he came in the power of God. He is a God-called man coming and delivering a message to a God-called people. And he's not doing it for show or by show. He's doing it by demonstration. He's going to take point by point through the Old Testament scriptures. He's going to show to them who they were, the condition of their soul, and the Savior that God has sent. This is grace for fallen sinners. The Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus came as the light of the world. Do you remember that? I'll just read, you don't need to turn to this because you know these passages so well. And as John's gospel begins, he speaks about our Lord and he says of John the Baptist, "He was not that light," capital L, "but was sent to bear witness of that light," capital L. "That was the true light," capital L, "which lighteth," little l, small case, "every man that cometh into the world." Our Lord Jesus is this great eternal light. How wonderful to see the Lord Jesus and discover light. Light. Light about who I am. Light about my need. Light about my sin. Light about its consequences. And I would say to you that in essence, the giving of God's Holy Spirit is the furtherance of that light as He comes to deal with sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That is the dispensing of that light of Christ by the working of God's Holy Ghost. Come back to chapter 15, please. First Corinthians chapter 15. So he says here in this chapter, in verse 3, he says, "For I delivered." The figure is that of, I'll hold up my bottle of water here if I may. And you'll see that this bottle of water is made out of plastic. And even if Nick can't see this, he's held a bottle of water in his hand before, he knows what I'm talking about. And he knows that contained in this plastic is my water. The word here that he uses for I delivered. It is taking something that is, the figure is of a mold that gives shape. Now, obviously, my water on the inside is not going to take, though it is at this moment, it does take the shape of this bottle, doesn't it? So the idea here is of a true mold in which something is poured that will produce its permanent shape. For I delivered. That is what the gospel is going to do, isn't it? I would ask you here today, have you really been saved by the grace of God? This gospel that has been delivered, poured into, as it were, a mold, and have you come out on the other side looking like Jesus? He said, I delivered this message that's going to make sinners look like Christ. It will mold them. And look at all the personalities. You can look around the room for just a moment. You see all these different personalities sitting here. We just lost a very big personality from our midst. But we're not all the same, are we? However, all of us are being poured. This gospel is molding us. I delivered the mold of the gospel to transform your life. The question is, have you believed in vain? Can you look at your soul and see that your life was and is being transformed into that mold of the gospel, that person of Christ? Now he could go on to say in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So by his very presence of coming in, they could see that here is this little beat up, scarred Jew. Because by then he had had a whole lot of beatings. And yet there is a power in this man's life. And he's talking about this Messiah of the Jews that came and died on a cross and is saving men, saving women, and transforming their lives. And the description that the scriptures are giving of this man who hung on a cross and died, they could see that the man that's giving the message had been poured into the mold that he is now preaching. I've delivered it. But I'm just not giving you something that by logic or reasoning. He said, this is something I received. And so they could see in this man the mold of that he had been poured in, this gospel he had been poured into. They could see there's some reflection here of the man that's preaching it, of the man that he's preaching about. This gospel came in demonstration. It was a delivered gospel. It's a received gospel. The gospel forms us into the mold of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, unless you've believed in vain. It gives us an opportunity. As my life a part of the mold? Can anybody else see Jesus in me? He had received it as a gospel mold into which sinners are birthed. Well, you could, I suppose we could actually take ourselves, couldn't we? Are we not the mold into which God, using our parents, created us? How many times has somebody come to you and said, in years past maybe, oh, I knew your mom and dad? You sure look like them. You talk like them. Well, that conception created a mold. And if you've been birthed by the Son of God, there's going to have to be something there. It looks like that original mold. Are you really in the mold of Christ, being transformed by Him? I think you understand my bent here. And the gospel deals with the one thing we were helpless to change. Verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." We were helpless to do anything about our sins. You remember, I told you, our church here remembers, I saw this article that came through AT&T on my email account maybe a year ago now, a article that came out of the magazine The Atlantic. I think I told you about this parade, a mother and daughter, and a child, young child, parade going down, and someone had the float in this parade, obviously a Christians, church probably, and it said something about that Christ Jesus came to save us from our sins, and the little girl looks up at her mom and says, "What is sin?" The mother that's writing this article in The Atlantic, in that moment, was so proud because she had grown up in the church hearing about sins, that she was a sinner, and she didn't like it, and she had rejected that. She's writing this article in The Atlantic to express how proud she was that her child had not heard and did not know what sin was. Aren't you glad that God sent a God-called preacher to hold you up and make you face yourself in this book? But we recognize that here is a woman who grew up in a church hearing about sins and being a sinner and needing a Savior, and she had rejected that. But in God's mercy, the same message was preached to you. And in grace, God made you own it. He made you own it. He made you own that truth that you are a lost, hell-bound, and hell-deserving sinner. And He brought you to faith in His Son, who died on Calvary's cross. There's grace for fallen sinners, isn't there? But He says here that this gospel came out of the Scriptures. And we know that it did, don't we? And we don't have the time to take ourselves through all of the Old Testament Scriptures, but can you imagine the Apostle Paul as he's writing this to them as an afterthought of months later, of communicating back to them and reminding them that He took them through the Scriptures. He took them back to Genesis chapter 3. He took them back to the blood sacrifice by which coats were made for Adam and Eve. He took them back to Cain and Abel. He took them back to the sacrifice of Noah as he came off the ark. Took them back to Abraham and God's mercy to Abraham, and there to Mount Moriah. It took him back and back, took him to the Passover lamb, took him to the Old Testament scriptures, took him to the sacrifices, and took them back to Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. He took them back to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What mercy God has shown us that you would even believe those scriptures. Multitudes today, Monday morning, Sharon and I are riding to come into the office. And there is a bumper sticker on the back of a car that says, B-I-B-L-E. A book of fantasy. That was just this past Monday morning. A book of fantasy. Well, you and I, we grieve to see that. It's not a book of fantasy, is it?
No, sir.
And to be honest, obviously the person who put that on the back of his vehicle probably hasn't really dealt with the truth. He's never really searched it out. And again, maybe he has. And somehow he's come to the conclusion that the B-I-B-L-E is the book of fantasy. But you have been saved by it. You've been transformed by it. Your life has gone from darkness to light.
Yes.
From confusion to blessed reality, hope and joy and confidence. I'm telling you, there's grace for fallen sinners. And I wouldn't even despair of hoping to run into that fella again and let him know my Bible's not a book of fantasy, and challenge him. It's a book of truth. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. He was buried. His death was final. It was complete. He died. And Paul says here, this was according to the scriptures. Now I want you to think back for just with me a moment, and maybe you have got a better handle on this. But the greatest and really singular illustration of this is Jonah, isn't it? Am I right? Our Lord Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 31, they're all coming to him looking for a sign, remember? Give us a sign from him. No, I'm not going to give you a sign. The only sign you're going to get is Jonah, who was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, belly of the fish. That'll be your sign. And it was. And while they rejected it at the moment, they came to Pilate after they had murdered him. And said, that deceiver said after 3 days, I'm coming up. We need to put some guards around this. We can't let this happen. So they got it. This is part of what the Apostle Paul said. I came and preached to you that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried. And here's the great example of the Old Testament scripture, Jonah. Dead in the belly of the whale, resurrected as he was spit out on the seashore. It's according to the scriptures. And you and I know that we would never have understood the Old Testament writers, they were not understanding what it was that they were writing. Doesn't our Bible tell us of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Most of them, they couldn't even understand what it was they were writing. How could Isaiah fully grasp what he was writing there in chapter 52 and 53? Paul says, I preach the gospel to you, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And he preached that out of the Old Testament scriptures. And, as I said before, a good likelihood that he would have had available to him the gospel of Matthew. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures the Bible tells us. Isaiah 52 and 53, Psalm 16 and verse 10, that he would not leave his soul in hell, nor suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is the saving gospel. This is true grace. And when it is imparted, it generates repentance of sin and a turning from sin, from the world, from the flesh. And this becomes a separating gospel. Paul would write to this church again in his second letter and tell them that, that this gospel will cause them to come out from among them and be a separate. So it's a separating gospel. It's a sanctifying gospel. It's a cleansing gospel. And the word of this scripture continues to wash us as our Lord Jesus, who loves us as a husband loves a bride, has purposed that by his word he would sanctify us and cleanse us and someday present us to himself. It is also a word that sets us for service. As 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21 tells us in that text. This is grace for fallen sinners. So we begin a new decade at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. And I say to us as a congregation, buy the truth, sell it not. Do not back up on these glorious truths, on this gospel. You may run across somebody that has Bible on the back of their car that says, this is the book of myth, the book of fantasy. You may have an opportunity to tell them how that Christ Jesus came into your life and saved you from the wicked sins of your past, and tell how he transformed your life. And you can talk to them in tones of sympathy and love that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is grace for fallen sinners. Can you rejoice in that grace today? We love our Savior who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, we thank you that you have established this church. And the former pastors have been men who bought the truth and would not sell it. And we thank you that today we are still standing in the truth by which the church was established. That you, in your sovereign grace and mercy, have revealed to us our utter helplessness and pointed us to your precious Son, his hands that still hold the nail print, his side that still holds the open wound, his feet that still possess the open wounds. But he is risen He has ascended. He is the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. And He is our loving Savior. Father, we thank You. This is the truth that we want to buy. We want to buy every bit of it we can. We want to understand, own, and possess its fullness. And we look forward to the day when the great preacher will preach to us through all of eternity and show us the wonders of His mercy, His love, His might, His power. We thank You for this Bible as the absolute truth. And as our little children's song is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Fill us with joy this day at the great grace. And Lord, would You send us out? There are multitudes who mock this, we know. And were it not for Your mercy, we would chime in every day and die without hope. But we thank You for saving us. Thank You for the grace that called us. Thank You for the grace that owns us and will own us for all of eternity. We praise the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and rejoice in these mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.